Several years ago, I was reading some things that had come probably to me through email back then, because I didn't have so many other means as we have now. I came up on a message that was titled, Blessed Are the Flexible. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. Because normally when we think, and it was from a fellow preacher that I have looked up to and follow his teachings and such and have for many years, and I thought, that's just kind of strange. Because when we think about those who are blessed, we think about those that are solid and sound and firm and all of those things. And so I opened it up and read the article, and that sounds good. There's some good points in there, and we may want to consider those. And so turned it into a lesson. I hope it was a profitable lesson when it was preached before. And I looked at it again in light of some of the things that we've been talking about in our Bible class and some of the things that have been going on in our world and that we're having to deal with. I was looking through, and there was that title again, and it caught my attention once more. Blessed Are the Flexible. This time not because I was kind of surprised to see that kind of a title, but you know, that might be helpful to us. So we want to talk this evening about this idea of a need to be flexible, and that sometimes we need not be flexible. In fact, we must not be flexible. The premise that this article was based upon, Brother Bobby Graham wrote the article, and it was based on a sign on a church in Canada in the year 2000, I think it was, that said, Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. We recognize that as Christians we have to be firm and solid on the truth of the gospel, but we need to understand that there are some areas in which we need to be flexible. We hear lots of lessons that emphasize the need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and we'll talk about some of those things later on in the lesson, but we need to recognize that sometimes flexibility is exactly what is needed. Both in our relationships with those who are around us and in our relationship with God, we need to have flexibility in ourselves, or else we're not going to bend to meet the requirements that God has given to us. We're not going to be able to avoid strife and difficulties with the people that are around us. We need to make sure that we can flex without being bent out of shape. Never thought of it before. I did some research. It's been a while. I don't remember exactly where it was I found it. But I know there are certain requirements in regards to metals that they must be able to bend a certain amount without breaking in order to meet a particular grade and then go back to their particular shape. In fact, I read and understand that in order to be a master craftsman as a knifesmith, what I read sounds incredible, but one of the details is that your blade needs to be able to bend 90 degrees without breaking and then go back to its original shape and hold its original shape. If you do reading about some of the fancy aircraft that we have, those things are loose as a goose on the ground. Because if they had them tight on the ground, when they got up in the air, they would just not work. They got to have the tolerances on the ground so that they will be aware and properly aerodynamic in the air. Because we have to be both flexible and steadfast. Some flexibility certainly is a commendable trait. If we forget or we refuse to accept the differences and problems that we might have as we approach the people in the world, if we're not willing to consider others and their condition and their what they've had to deal with and what they've grown up with as we go to try to approach them, we don't have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3 and reading through verse 11, Paul says, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. have this mind among yourselves, which is in yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of the Father. If Jesus had not been flexible, if he'd not been willing to give up what he had to come down and serve mankind in humility and die on the cross, we would not have the salvation that we have today. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about flexible, especially in regards to the Word of God. Not our own will, but considering His will and taking it into consideration. And certainly, as we're dealing with other individuals, as we go about our daily lives here in this world, we must be able to consider the situation that each and every person is in that we come in contact with. Every person that we deal with, we have to deal with just a little bit differently. We recognize that even in our families. If you've got four children, you recognize that you've got four different ways you've got to deal sometimes, because they're unique in their personality and in their understanding and in their abilities. And so you have to take that into consideration. You have to adjust yourself in dealing with each one of those individual children, even if you've got identical twins. You still have to deal with each one of them differently, because they're unique. And so you've got to be able to adjust and bend. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about some flexibility is a necessary trait for us as children of God in serving Him. The Berean brethren were praised for their flexibility. And some might say, well, now, wait a minute. They praised the Berean brethren because they studied to see if the things that were taught were so. They went in and searched the Scriptures after they had heard. But yes, they were flexible because they listened to what was said and they were open and willing to consider that it was what God wanted. And when they did find out that what they were doing was not what God expected of them, they made changes. If the Berean brethren had heard the teaching of the Apostle Paul and not been willing to go and read, or even if they'd gone and read but not been willing to make the changes in their life, would they have been praised for studying daily to see if the things that were taught were so? No, they would not. They were flexible. They were willing to listen and give attention. But we need to have the same sort of an attitude in our own life. The book of James chapter 3 and verse 17. James says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy." And somebody said, "Well, now wait a minute. You said unwavering there." Yeah, but also said reasonable, or as some versions render it, open to reason. The wisdom that comes from God is a wisdom that is such that causes us to investigate before we just accept something or before we reject something. We are open to reason and teaching. We're willing to listen and give attention. We need to recognize these traits are necessary in our dealing with our fellow man, with our brethren, and with our families. We need to be willing to listen. One of the great difficulties in communication today, and I don't care what avenue of communication you're talking about, one of the great difficulties is the willingness for the participants to listen to what the other has to say. I don't know whether you've seen it before, but I've seen it several times. A quote goes something along this lines. The reason we have so much trouble communicating today is because we're so busy composing our response that we can't hear what the other person is saying. I'd like to say I learned that lesson early, but I didn't. I was told that lesson early, but I didn't learn it very well. Gradually, it dawned on me that instead of trying to compose my response to Dad, I needed to listen to what he was actually saying and think about what he said. And then, if there was something that needed to be said, I could say back. And we need that in our interaction with our brothers and sisters in Christ. in our interaction with the people in the world, if we don't understand where they are and what they're talking about, how can we draw them to where they need to be? We need to be willing, reasonable, and that is what the wisdom of God is. It is reasonable. It's part of the characteristic. A willingness to yield when we find that we're wrong. The Gentiles in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32 were rebuked because they were not willing to be agreeable. Though they knew God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them as condemnations because they weren't willing to adjust even when they knew what was said was right. They weren't willing to give up who they were. They weren't flexible enough. We need to get beyond this because this is an attitude that is caused oftentimes, I won't say it's caused every time, but oftentimes it's caused because of self-centeredness or self-focus or the simple word, selfishness. We need to recognize that others are just as needful of the gospel. Others are just as good or as bad as we are. We're nothing special. We're all the same. Christ died for every man, not just for me, but for every man. And as Jesus tells us, we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need to be flexible in relation to our others, and certainly we need to be flexible in our attitude toward God's will for us. Not that we're flexible in how we determine what it says, but we're flexible in our willingness to accept it and live in accordance with it, rather than simply wanting to do what we want to do. We need to be willing to change our minds and our hearts and our souls and our actions so that we will be pleasing unto Him. Just as some flexibility is commendable, and there is a need for us to have some adjustability in our attitude and our reasonableness and our talking to others, we also recognize that other flexibility is completely disastrous. Much like we saw in Romans chapter 1, the one who looks at the Word of God and is not willing to make the changes necessary to submit to it, not flexible enough to adjust, is going to be lost. We cannot be flexible in regards to what God has revealed because God has revealed His Word for us, told us what it is, and there's no adjustment in regards to what He has said. There's no, well, I know that sounds good, but when I put it to practice in my life, it leads to things that I don't like, and so I really don't think that's going to be of help to me. There's a God said it. I have to do it. I must accept it. God has revealed His Word to us in completeness. He has given us everything that we need to know in order to be prepared for every good work. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us. All Scripture breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent or complete, equipped for every good work. He's given us everything that we need. And I might note, as I've noted before, this was written at the time that the New Testament Scriptures were not yet completed. So this included the things of the Old Testament Scriptures. Remember, as we'll see when we move into 2 Timothy in our Bible class on Sunday morning, Timothy was told to hold on to the things he learned from his youth. That's the Scriptures being referenced here. But we have the complete revelation of what God has declared that we need to know. It's here. It's available for us. When Jude wrote, he said, was eager to write about our common salvation, but I found it necessary to write regarding the contending for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jesus gave instruction to His apostles in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, that they were to go and preach His Word to the nations, to go and make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, wrote to those brethren, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, was this grace given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. While we need to be flexible and reasonable as we approach people and we talk to people, and as we deal with people in our worldly dealings that we must have in order to get by, we need to be willing to have some give and take in those relationships. When it comes to the Word of God, there is no flexibility. There is no turning. There is no change. That is where we must be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Truth is narrow and it is unyielding. It doesn't have any flexibility built into it. And while, as we stated, we must be flexible sometimes in our relations, we must be flexible in our own lives in regards to listening to God and making the changes that are necessary to please Him. When it comes to what God has said, there is no flexibility. There is no yielding. There is no adjustments that are to be made. It is simply listen to what God said and do what God said. Maybe that's why this phrase, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape, can actually be something that we can consider. Because we are able to bend when necessary, but we know to come back to the right shape and form ourselves in light of the Word of God. While we might bend to some point in order to reach out to someone or in order to deal with some particular difficulty or problem that's going on in our life, we always come back to that shape that was formed by the Word of God. That shape that cannot be changed if we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. You all heard the statement, a rose by any other name is still a rose. I read one time the story of a young man who came to his father because he had missed a problem at school in his class, and he wanted his father to see if he could get it correct. He told his father, said, the teacher said, if we call his tail a leg, how many legs will this dog have? And father replied, that's simple math. We add them all up and we get 5. So then, no, you missed it too. It doesn't matter how long you call that tail a leg, it's still not a leg. A humorous story gets across the point. God's Word is God's Word and it will not change. There's no adjustment to it. There's no this doesn't fit just right, so let me trim off a little bit over here so it fits a little better in my life. You do that and you end up with a denominational world. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the Apostle Peter declared, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. That statement is as true today as it was on that day of Pentecost when Peter proclaimed it. And it'll be just as true on the final day of this earth. It does not change. Jesus is not some good guy that walked around on the earth with some pretty good ideas. He's the Son of God who died for our sins and is now raised to sit on the right hand of God. He is now Lord and Christ. Paul made the statements in the Ephesian letter regarding the oneness of the body and the oneness of the church. He made a statement that is just as true today as it was when he wrote it. In Ephesians 2 and verse 16, might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. In talking about the difficulties between the Jews and Gentiles, Paul said God's got rid of that through Jesus Christ. One body now, not two, not 12. Not 700, one. one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, all of those ones that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, they apply today just like they did then. One truth, and it is truth. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it, Paul told the Corinthian brethren. And if we are who we claim to be, the same is said of us. We are the body of Christ. We're the same group. No change. Yes, flexibility is something that we must need from time to time in our dealings with others. And certainly we must be able to adjust ourselves to match the will of God. But God's will does not change, and the teaching that comes from God does not change. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it was those who do the will of my Father that will enter into heaven, He meant it. He meant it for all time. There is no changing the Word of God. God has given us the path that He desires for us to follow, and if we want to enter into heaven, we've got to follow that path. If that means that we've got to make adjustments in our own lives so that we can be in accordance with that will, even if we've been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years and we read through the Scripture and we find there's something in the Scripture that impresses upon us that there's a need for us to make an adjustment, we need to be willing to adjust then. We need to be willing to change ourselves to be in line with the Word of God. We need to be willing to give and take with others as we deal with them in this world so that we can express our love and our care and our concern. Some of this goes back to some of what we talked about this morning in our being careful how we respond. We need to be willing to be flexible in our response to others so that we put forth righteousness and love and grace in our speech and in our actions, lest we turn others away from God. The only path that we can follow that will bring us unto heaven is the way that God has laid out in His Word, and we follow it directly, but that means we have to change ourselves. The Apostle Paul told the Galatian brethren that anything taught different from the gospel that they had already received was a false doctrine, was a false gospel. I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. The word will not change. We must change to match the word. Our dealings with our fellow man require us sometimes for give and take. Certainly, give and take is necessary if we are going to submit to the will of the Father. As we made mention, some of these problems are because of a self-centeredness that may have developed in our lives. When we begin to think I'm the one that knows best for me, then we become inflexible. We've developed the attitude that what I think is the only thing that matters, and therefore, no matter what anybody else has to say, I'm not going to make any adjustments. And we've become inflexible. And it will lead to our damnation. We need to be flexibly immovable. We need to be immovable in regards to what the Word of God is and how we obey it. We need to be flexible in our willingness to make changes in our life, to adjust in dealing with others, and most importantly, to be pleasing in the sight of God. One of the issues that we deal with as we grow older, as we have been Christians for a long time, is I believe this all my life. I've always understood it this way. But if you are shown that the way you have understood it for all of your life is wrong, you really
things change? Are you flexible enough to adjust your life to match what you know now is the will of the Lord? We call out for our denominational friends to do that. We sometimes look at them and think in regards to them, well, they're just trying to make excuses for not coming to God. When they say, well, that's the way my mama believed, or that's the way we've done it all this time. Shouldn't we feel the same way when we have that attitude ourselves? Constant study and application of the Word of God will cause us to recognize some adjustments are necessary in the way we conduct ourselves. It may be that we realize that we're not doing as much as we could do. We're not using the talent that God has given us in the right way. We're spending less and less time with the Lord. We need to be willing to come back. We need to look at our lives on a daily basis and make the adjustments that are necessary to keep ourselves in line with the will of God. We need to turn away from ourselves and put our focus on the Lord. Really, the attitude of selfishness, even in those who are Christians, is a very damning and condemning thing. We need to turn ourselves away from it. Everything we find in the Word of God is to be selfless rather than selfish. It's not my way, but God's way that I must follow. You look in your life and you find there's something in your life that is a mess and needs to be adjusted. If you're struggling, having difficulties in dealing with the problems and trials of this world, if you just need strength rather than helping opportunities, yours, come to the retirement home and say,